Welcome to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are queer to answer your questions. My name's Cheyenne.
And I'm Gina.
Class is now in session. And today we're going to be talking about queer books. I'm really excited about this topic because I've really gotten back into reading lately. I've read like 45 books so far this year, and it's February.
This year?
Yeah.
You're kidding. That's how many I read last year total.
Yeah, that's like how many I read last year too.
2022.
Yeah. I like haven't been listening to music. I haven't been listening to podcasts really like I used to. I've just been like binging audiobooks on like 2x, 3x speed because I'm
okay. See, I'm like an actual reader, not an audio. Yeah. Like I want to look. I want to read. I want to read with my eyes. I'm on book 7 or 8. Of the year, and I thought that was impressive for February.
It is.
So
it
holy
is.
Cow! 45.
I can't do it with something like in my hands. I like it while I'm like driving, or if I'm cleaning, or if I'm doing work. I like to have it on in the background. So I just like, you know, have it in the background of my life. So I'm always reading. Yeah. Yeah,
that makes more sense because I'll see you post all these books and I'm like,
you're like, how
does she fly? I'm like, she must be the fastest reader ever, or she just must specifically choose really short books, because I can finish a book in a day if it's under 200 pages. But if it's over 200 pages, it's going to take me a couple days.
Yeah, some of the books I read are like physical. I actually prefer to read on my phone because I don't like when people ask me what I'm reading. It feels so personal, especially because I read a lot of like self-help. I mean, like if I do, like sometimes you're in the waiting room and you're like reading on your phone or something. But like if I ever had like a book and someone, this is more like in the past, but people would be like, oh, what are you reading? And it just feels so personal to me. And it's not always something I want to share with everyone. And I do read a lot of like self-help books. And it's like, I don't want you to know this much about me. Even if it's like not a self-help thing, I don't know. What I'm reading is personal until I choose to share it. So I like to have it like as anonymous as possible. But yeah, mostly I listen to what I read just because I can't like sit there and hold a book in my hand and sit still. Like I need to like be doing more than one thing.
I love that. Well, I am a multitasker also. So I usually have something on the TV that I've seen a million times. That's kind of like background noise for while I'm reading. But I also am very like, I hate when people who are self-proclaimed readers will then like ask me if I've read this and this and this and this. Cause I'm like, no, I read, but I read the very specific things that I want to read.
Yeah.
And I promise they're not what you're reading. Like I'm reading the most random things
what
ever. And
what kind of things are people asking you if you read that you're like, no?
I feel like
Colleen Hoover.
Yes, if depending on who it is. But even like queer people that I know will always get into these fantasy series and these like other world kind of books, and I just like reading about like people on drugs and people in cults and
they have that in
memoirs.
Fantasy series.
No, but I don't want the fantasy. I want like I want real life. Yeah. I want to be able to not think like if I lived in this world, I want it to be more realistic than that. I don't know. I kind of like trashy books more than anything else.
Trashy in what way? Like poorly written? Like she breasted boobily down the stairs kind of thing? Have you heard that before?
No.
It's like when male writers write about women and they're like, she breasted boobily down the stairs, because they like don't know how to write about people's bodies without sexualizing and objectifying.
Yeah. I guess I just read a lot of like stories for the plot more than, maybe I'm backtracking now because I do read a lot of, like, I've been reading a lot of James Baldwin, and I would obviously not qualify that as like a trashy read at all. So I don't know. There's like a lot of, I'll read like
a lot
of
read like classics.
Classic,
yeah. That's what I was going to say. I don't read classics really. Like I'm not, if it's set too far in the past, I don't want to read it. But if it's like a time travel thing, I like it. But if it's just in the past, no. I like future or present.
I'm reading a lot of authors that I think I should have had to read growing up, like James Baldwin and bell hooks and Audre Lorde and Maya Angelou, you know, like Toni Morrison. So I'm giving myself the education I should have gotten in school, I guess. Yeah. That's why I mean, those
that makes
those
sense.
Are a very specific set of classics.
Yeah.
Like You I'm not reading Moby Dick or
it's
anything.
Not specifically queer, but you should read Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler, if that's not already on your list. I decided to read it because people said it was a better version of The Handmaid's Tale, and it's like written by a Black woman. Right. So it's not
well,
like
TBD.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you said you just got back into reading. So have you always been a reader, or is this just like a newfound? Well, you say reader, but I'm like, are you reading?
No, I am. Like audio, it is, because are you saying blind people can't read then? If a blind person listens to an audiobook, what's the difference between me listening to an audiobook and them listening to an audiobook?
You know, it just feels like you're cheating a little. I see your argument. Yeah. And I do think that for things like driving or multitasking, mm-hmm. audiobooks can be great, mm-hmm. but to have read, like to say you read 45 books this year, I think is incorrect. You listened to 45 books this year, but you didn't read them.
But it's like the same thing. If you think about it, it's like hearing or seeing words in your head.
All right. I'm skeptical like to if say you're like, that you've read for, I think you've listened to 45 books this year.
Okay. But like, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in the end. It's just things going on in your head.
All right.
Your mind playing stories in your brain, you know, just like a different modality, I guess.
All right.
I've ingested 45 books worth of wisdom in some way or another. And like I said, not all of them are audiobooks, just a majority.
Okay.
But I've always been a reader. When I was young, I would like get in trouble because I would like read during class, and it would be like random books that I'd pull out and start reading. And they'd be like, you're not supposed to be doing that right now. Put that away.
Right.
And I'd be like, I'm already done with what I was supposed to be doing. What am I supposed to do? Just sit here? Why can't I read a book? And my mom would be like, just let her read the book. Like, I don't know what the issue is. But I feel like that's kind of like my ADHD and my inability to pay attention. So, which obviously I still have, hence the audiobook multitask.
That makes sense though.
Yeah. Have you always been a reader too?
Always. I mean, growing up, we would go to the beach a lot, and I could finish like a book a day on the beach easily. Yeah. And my dad always used to joke how like my sister and I, we'd spend a week down the shore and we'd read like 5 books. And then my dad would be like, you guys just read more books than I've read my whole life in this one week.
Yeah, I don't understand people who aren't into reading, but I mean, I like go through phases, obviously. Like last year I read like about the same amount of books that I've read or listened to this year. But most of them were in like beginning of the year. And then I got in my relationship. So I was like out living a life. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not really socializing very much. I'm kind of isolating myself and just like escaping into books all the time, hence why I'm listening to so many audiobooks and trying to be productive. And I'm more productive if there's something playing in the background, and I'd rather mm-hmm. it be something that I'm like learning from or like getting entertainment from. And sometimes that's in the form of podcasts, sometimes it's in the form of books.
I do understand people who aren't readers. Like I get it if it's like mm-hmm. not your thing, because it is like time consuming, and depending on what book you're reading, it could be boring. Like if you don't have the right books for you, then I do think you're gonna find it boring. But I ebb and flow. Like if I don't have a lot going on, I'll read a ton, because it's like a fun pastime, like it's a hobby. Mm-hmm. And then obviously when times of the year get busier, unless I'm sitting on a plane reading, then like I'm probably not reading as much. But I always yearly try and set a goal of reading at least one book a month. And I usually well surpass that. Mm-hmm. But that's my minimum for like the rest of my life, I hope.
Yeah, I think that's a good goal to have. Do you have a favorite queer book specifically? Well, do you have a favorite like book in general, and then like one that's specifically queer? Just curious.
I guess it overlaps a little bit. And this is why I say like my favorite book, it's not written well, but it's so good. It's called Playground, and it's about a woman who grew up in the Playboy Mansion, and it's a true story. So it's like a memoir. Mm-hmm. She was the daughter of one of Hef's best friends and his like basically personal physician, aka personal prescription pad, aka plug. And she started going like to the Playboy Mansion since she was 6. At some point she has an affair with one of Hef's girlfriends. And I read this when I was like young, like middle school. And I was obsessed with reading the lesbian sex scenes. Yeah. And I, you know now why. And she like writes in the book that she's bisexual. So it kind of overlaps. But like I said, it's not like well written. I just love the like chaos of it, of the story.
How did you discover this in middle school? Like, I don't even know if I
reached for that. My best friend's older sister had it.
Okay. Okay. That checks out. Yeah. Cause I feel like, I don't know. I definitely had, I remember when I was younger, I checked out this book from the library and it was called like Kissing Kate or something. And it was like, queer. And I like, I don't know if I ended up checking it out or not, but I remember like looking at the library for a really long time and like kind of reading it, but I was like scared to check it out because I didn't want my grandma to be like, what's that book about? And I have to be like, oh, it's about girls kissing each other. So I feel like that also goes back to like not wanting physical copies in my hands because I don't want people asking what I'm looking at, because you know sometimes
that makes sense.
Yeah,
I have recently, like last year and this year, I've really tried to filter my life overall, and so I have attempted to only read books that are written by either people of color, queer people, or women. And last year, of the 45 books I read, I think only 3 of them did not fall into that category. So it's pretty good percentage.
And yeah. Do you ever start a book and just like, you're like, no, not for me, and abandon it? Or do you like push your way through no matter what?
I pretty much push my way through no matter what. It's hard for me to not finish a book. There's one book in the past 5 years that I can think of.
What book was it?
That I started and didn't finish. I don't want to give it publicity. But okay. On our Patreon, I will.
Yeah. I used to always try and make myself push through, and sometimes I still do, but I'm trying to like not push through things that I'm not like enjoying. Like, why would I read a book that I don't like when I could just stop and go read something that I do like? Like, why am I wasting my time in life in general, like engaging in things that aren't making me happy? So I'm trying to like, yeah, use that philosophy in like different areas of my life. So if like I went to a restaurant, I don't like anything on the menu, like I'm not going to feel bad if I get up and leave and go somewhere else, as long as, you know, I'm not like
politely
rude. Yeah. Or like watching a TV show, like maybe I'm like halfway through the series and I'm just like not feeling it. I'm not trying to like push through anymore, because I feel like I've put myself in a lot of like uncomfortable situations in the past just because I feel like I should, but I'm like realizing that I don't have to. So
no, that's totally valid. And I think there's a lot of like inspiration you can draw from that. And just overall, like if something's not fitting you, don't wear it kind of thing. Yeah. I will say I've never pushed through a book that I like hated. It was more just like, nah, this isn't that great. Yeah. But I it wasn't like unbearable, and I was like skimming just to know how it ends. But I like the thought of just, if you're not feeling it, move on. Like that's important.
Yeah. And sometimes I do go back to them and I finish them, or you know, sometimes I just never do. But I have a lot of like half finished books that I'm just like, what is happening here? Nothing. I'm not like, I just started reading this queer book called She's Too Pretty to Burn, and it's okay, but I don't know that I want to finish it because I was expecting more to be going on at this point, and I'm not like invested in the characters. There's no like real connection between me and the storyline that I like, I'm like, I need to know how this ends. Like, it's just kind of there. That's not fair. Saying anything bad about, I don't know who the author is. I'm sure they're a lovely person and a great writer. It's just not clicking for me personally. Yeah. And I think it's okay to give up on things when
it
doesn't fit.
Yeah. I'm currently reading some poetry books, and I made sure that they were sapphic because I just think there's something extra poetic about sapphic people writing poems for each other. And so I have 3 books that are 3 different authors, and one of them is Audre Lorde, and they're all just like sapphic poems. So that's what I'm, it's not like the stories, but I like that.
If you know,
Coming Home to Her by Emily Juniper.
Okay.
I haven't read these yet, but this is what I'm reading like this week. And the other one is called The Lavender Haze by June Bates.
Okay. I haven't heard of those, but I'm sure they're great. You'll have to let me know. I love poetry.
I do love poetry.
Yeah. I know some people who are like, it's so corny, but like, that's kind of the beauty of it, I think, is the corniness and just like the way it makes you feel. I'm reading a book right now. It's actually not queer, but it's like this woman who is having sex with like a merman, and she was like describing sex with him, and it was just making me feel nauseous. Like, I just was disgusted.
Oh my God.
But, and I was just like, it's too much deep. Like, I don't want to think about a man having sex at all. So I like was skipping over that part because I was just like, not into it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I don't know. The description of it was not great. No, it's not queer, unfortunately. I was hoping it would get there, but
it's about... Do you mostly read queer books or?
I wouldn't say mostly, but I do try to read a lot of queer books just because, like, I read A Court of Thorns and Roses. It's what it's called. It's like a huge, like, the books are like thick as fuck, and there are like four of them. I think I read two or two and a half of them, and then I gave up. I was recommended to read that and told that they were really good, and it's like fairy smut, basically, like fairy fucking. And I just like, I was like, these sex scenes are doing nothing for me. Like, they're so, just the heteronormativity, like, I don't care. I've heard it. Right. I've seen it a million times. I'm not into it.
A lot of the non-queer books I read aren't relationship centered, if that makes sense. So then I don't read a lot of sexy books anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I try not to in general, just because I feel like they have to be done really well for me to like it. I just feel cringe. Like, sometimes it's hot. Like, one of the questions we got was, what's the best hot sapphic book? And are there any good realistic and spicy WLW books? And I made a list of books I've read, and the only one I can really think of that had good sex scenes is called One Last Stop by Casey McQuiston.
I read that one. Yeah. I loved that one.
Except there was one part where I was like a little cringe, but like mostly it was hot to me. Usually
those were
I'm not.
Okay. They weren't like that X-rated or anything, but they were good.
Yeah. They were a little spicy. I don't know if I have anything else on my list. My favorite queer book is The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, that's okay if it makes me basic. It's so good. I've read it like at least four times so far.
You have recommended it to me, and I keep hearing about it, but I just haven't gotten to it. I'll put it on my list. I'll buy it. And once it's on my bookshelf, I'll get to it.
They're making a Netflix show out of it, I think. And
you've already convinced me there.
Yeah.
Well, now I need
to get
it.
My girlfriend's mom and her sister read it, and they both loved it. My girlfriend listened to the audiobook with me at the beach. She loved it. It's such a good story.
Okay.
Yeah. I love it. I don't know that there's necessarily like spicy sex scenes in that, but there's some spicy love scenes that will turn your heart on. And I said heart on, not hard on.
Okay. Yeah, we got a lot of book recommendation questions overall, even just overarching, please share a queer book reading list. So know that any of the books that we do mention today and plenty that we do not mention will be in a full reading list, which you can find in the episode description right now. And you can also, you know, comment in all of our stuff to share some more. But we do have some that we'll talk through, of course, today. So another recommendation that they asked for that I just said, I don't really read much fantasy. So do you have recommendations for fantasy WLW books?
Yeah, I definitely do. One of the sapphic fantasy books I have written down is These Witches Don't Burn by Isabel Sterling. It's a little bit more young adult, but I liked it. I like stuff about witches. So a few other good fantasy books are House of Hollow by Crystal Sutherland, The Dark Wife by Sarah Deamer. That one is about Hades and Persephone, but Hades is a woman. But the cover art is awful. It's so ugly. I hate it's so boring, but the book is so good. I love it.
I know you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but I often sometimes do.
Yeah.
Like, and you know what? There was one time in Target, I bought a book purely because of the cover, and it was my favorite book I read in 2022. It was called Black Cake, and it was a little bit queer.
I have that on my list of things to read. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's so good, Cheyenne. It's so good. It was my favorite book I read in 2022. It's amazing.
Maybe I'll read that.
It has a really beautiful message around food And I just liked how things tied together. One mm-hmm. of the characters is queer. You don't like get a ton of her story, but she's bisexual and that kind of plays into a couple things.
Yeah. The one book that I mentioned, House of Hollow, it's about like three sisters and one of the sisters is a lesbian, one's straight and one's bisexual. And they don't really like delve too much into the storyline, but they do mention it a little bit. And I like that they kind of brought the representation in and they kind of hinted mm-hmm. that there's going to be a sequel. So I'm hoping to see more queerness in the upcoming books. Huh. So I don't mind if it's not like front and center with the storyline, but it's better than just like all of them being straight. Like it's not realistic, honestly.
Yeah, no, we don't need to have like queer stories that are just centered around queer relationships mm-hmm. and coming out and all this stuff. Like we can have just anything happen to us and that is a plot without it being like gay, but we are a gay person and that's what makes it like queer stories are very nuanced and mm-hmm. in the way that we can tell them is infinite.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations for any books that aren't about coming out or gay men, this person said? And they also would like fiction and well-written. So got a lot of boxes to check off for this recommendation.
Well, I also would say that I don't know that everything's like super well-written. Mm-hmm. But
I feel like that's subjective.
I guess so. I mean, when I think of somebody who's saying well-written, what I hear, and this is maybe my perception, what I hear is like above the fifth grade reading level that I personally love to read at. Personally, okay. Me.
Yeah.
I think of this person as probably like they want something more scholarly.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I know.
Okay,
I
remember you're reading like Audre Lorde. That is not fifth grade level reading.
No, but don't you remember when there was like all these things? I think it was even on Twitter. Every woman in the earth was reading 50 Shades of Grey, and then people were like clipping things from it and just like showing how like simplistic her sentences
were. That's what they're doing
with
Colleen Hoover now. Yeah.
Well, I don't give a fuck how simplistic the sentences are. I literally don't. I don't care if it says she was sad. It was horrible. What a bad day. If that's going to lead into the plot, and I will fly through it if it's a good plot, I don't care. So I honestly like already get turned off, to be honest, by this question, by somebody being like, and well-written, because I'm like, well, what does that exactly like you said? What does that even mean? All that says to me is like, I think I'm better than you. So I want books to be more well-written. And maybe that's
like flowery prose. I don't know. When I think of well-written, I just think of like, it makes me feel something and like, I like it. Like it could be very basic or it could be very like flowery writing, like Bunny by Mona Awad, I would say is like well-written. Like that's a very well-written book to me, but it's also very convoluted in some ways. So maybe some people aren't into that, but also I feel like that the writing is just part of why I liked it. It was also the storyline. Mm-hmm. It just like all goes together. Right. It's so hard to say.
I don't know. I was actually going to recommend One Last Stop. I kind of forgot that one was technically fantasy because it doesn't like, feel like it at times, but it is.
Yeah.
I thought that was well written. That one doesn't involve coming out. It's not male centric. Mm-hmm. And another one that I read was called Written in the Stars. It's probably a little basic. It's by Alexandria Bellaflor. And
I read that too.
That one isn't about coming out. Another question that we got, Rex with healthy relationships. I thought that one was like kind of nice in terms of like the different relationship dynamics. I also liked, and this might be a little bit more young adult, but The Stars and the Blackness Between Them by Hunada Petras. And it has like a girl who came from an island somewhere in the Caribbean that you very much cannot be gay. And she goes to America and meets someone else who's gay. And they have like shared experiences of how different their lives are. And like one kind of had to struggle and the other one didn't. And so they're already out, but they're like connecting. So I like all of those. And I know that this person asked for fiction, but a book that I would say was very well written, but is nonfiction. It's called Dear Cynthurin, and it's by Awaki Emezi. It's all about their perception of gender and feeling like they're almost non-human because of how gender is structured. I got a lot out of that book, but it is nonfiction.
They have another book that I have on my phone.
There are other books more popular.
I don't know.
I liked this one.
Which one? There's one, and it's about like different souls in one body. And it's kind of, it sounds like it's about like gender fluidity and stuff.
Yeah.
One of the books I was going to suggest for this question is actually called Paul Takes the Form of a Mortal Girl by Andrea Lawler. And it's a little bit MLM, not multi-level marketing, but man loving man. But it's about a person who is literally like transforming. So gender fluid, but like this person's like a shapeshifter and they can like look like anyone or anything. And so they become like any, like a bunch of different genders, sexualities. It's really cool. Another one that I thought of for this question, sorry, I lost it. Our Wives Under the Sea by Julia Armfield. That's one I read recently, and it's about someone whose wife goes on like a deep sea diving mission, and she comes back like changed. I don't want to like give away too much, but she's just not the same. And it kind of goes back and forth between her being underwater, like stuck underwater on this deep sea mission, and her wife on land, and their life before and their life after. So that was a really good one I read recently. Another one was Everyone in This Room Will Someday Be Dead. For the person who asked for like happy, healthy relationships, this is not necessarily one. It's kind of a, if you have anxiety, it's very anxiety provoking. The main character kind of reminds me of Rue from Euphoria. Just a very anxious individual and like voicing every paranoid thought that you might have. So if you have like any compulsions or obsessive thoughts, maybe stay away from that one. I also read Patricia Wants to Cuddle recently, which is about a reality show that goes to film on this like island off of Washington State, and there's like a giant Bigfoot there. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a happy ending. I thought it was a happy ending personally. It was fun, it was well written. I wish there was like a little bit longer, like I wanted more of it, and that's my biggest complaint with that one. Another one that I think is really, really well written, it's In the Dream House, which is a memoir by Carmen Maria Machado, and it is beautiful, very triggering. It's about an abusive relationship, so just keep that in mind before reading it, but I've read it a few different times and I really enjoyed it. And then another one that's kind of triggering, well, I don't even want to say kind of, it's very triggering, it's pretty fucked up. It's called Things Have Gotten Worse Since We Last Spoke. This one's by Eric LaRocca, which I don't love queer books written about women by men, but this one is like, it's like fucked up and weird, and it's all like back and forth over email, which I've always been into. And it takes place in like the early thousands, maybe late 90s, and it's about two queer women and like a fucked up relationship. Yeah, so those are my recommendations for this person who wants a well-written book that's not about coming out or about men.
Yeah, as someone else said, you know, Rex with happy endings and or healthy relationships. I think we've kind of covered plenty with happy endings, and you mentioned whether or not they were happy, healthy relationships. More suggestions. Do you have any that are kid friendly? Because this person can't do dark books. They like kid-friendly suggestions, like middle school grade or lower.
If this person likes graphic novels, which I love graphic novels, I would recommend Lumberjanes by Andy Stevenson. I haven't read all of them. I also read, I guess it's a little darker, it's called Paper Girls. They actually made, I think it's on like Amazon Prime, and it got canceled after one season, which is really sad. But that's another graphic novel by Brian K. Vaughan. But yeah, I would go to Lumberjanes. There's also Annie on My Mind by Nancy Garden, which is like a classic queer book that I read a couple years ago, I want to say. And it's like really geared towards younger people, so I had put it off for a while, but it was a good story. I enjoyed it. Another one that I would recommend is Beauty Queens by Libba Bray. That one is about like pageant contestants that get stranded on a deserted island. I read that a long time ago, so I don't know how PG it is, but I'm pretty sure it's targeted towards a younger crowd, so I think that one should be okay. And then the These Witches Don't Burn, which I mentioned earlier, is definitely targeted towards a younger audience. So I think that one would be okay for you. And also The Song of Achilles by Madeline Miller is about Achilles and Patroclus. I'm sorry if I'm butchering this like ancient Greek name, but it's like about two men, but it's so beautiful. And I cried so much reading it. And I was like at work, like in front of someone, just like sobbing into my book. So aww. Read that. Yeah, it's so good.
So someone else had said, Rex, for somebody who's just getting back into reading, light and not super dramatic or intense. And I always think if you want something light, if I want something light, I'll go to young adult, mm-hmm. which maybe is not like kid, middle school or lower, like this other person said. But a lot of the books I'd mentioned, like Written in the Stars and even One Last Stop, I felt like that could have, I mean, I know there were sex scenes in it, but I felt like it was a little young adult in mm-hmm. some
definitely aspects. Written in the Stars.
Yeah. And then I really liked Never Kiss Your Roommate by Feline Harms. It was very young adult, like very PG, but it was a good read for somebody who's getting back into reading because there was a really good plot twist at the end that you're not expecting. And it came right at the point where you're kind of expecting things to be really predictable. I think it's an easy read that could get you back into like enjoying a good story.
I have a really good easy reading suggestion. It has queer men in it. And then there are like queer women that are very, very briefly mentioned. But it's called The House in the Cerulean Sea by TJ Klune. And it is about like a house of monster children and their caretakers. Ooh. So that's kind of targeted towards a younger audience, but also like an older, like it could go either way. And it was a cute little read. That was one of the ones that I started and kind of fell off and had to go back to. But I would definitely recommend that one if you're looking for something lighter to read.
Yeah. Our last question on recommendations, what books are there about lesbian love that do not center a man or turning away from men? I don't read a lot like that. And but I will say that I have found a lot of the ones that end up on like the New York Times bestseller list are this way. Like, do you ever read Untamed?
I did. Yeah.
Everybody was talking about that book. And when I read it, I was like, this is the corniest, stupidest things I've already know. Like this was not written for me. I don't think that book was written for queer people. I think that book was written for straight people to read a queer experience.
Yeah. You know? That makes sense. Yeah.
So not that one. What do you recommend?
Sorry. See, I don't know because I'm like trying to think if anything doesn't mention men. I read Milk Fed by Melissa Broder last year, and that's a really strange one about this woman who's like obsessed with frozen yogurt, and she becomes like obsessed with the Jewish woman who works at the frozen yogurt place. Okay. I don't really think there's much about men. It sounds not that interesting, but it's very sexual, very, I've been reading a lot about like unhinged, obsessed women, and like love stalkery that. Women. So that one kind of falls into that category. It's hard because I don't know, like a lot of them do at least briefly mention men.
Well, this just says don't center a man or don't like turning away from men, meaning like I just left my husband for you. Okay. You know?
Yeah, I mean, well, in that case, I have a lot of recommendations. Everyone in This Room Will Someday Be Dead, which I mentioned earlier. I read a book called Sarah Land by Sam Cohen. That one is very queer. Lots of triggering scenes in that one, just be aware, maybe look up triggers beforehand. There's Outlawed by Anna North, which is about a bunch of like female cowgirls who like disguise themselves as men so that they don't have to like live in a convent when they've been like run out of town, so they can like live in their own community outside of the actual towns. So that one doesn't center men. Let's see. The Things Have Gotten Worse Since We Last Spoke, which is the one I mentioned earlier that was pretty fucked up. There's Snot Girl by Brian Lee O'Malley, which is another graphic novel. And it's about this girl who's like an influencer, but she's like a fraud and her nose is always runny. And that's why she's called Snot Girl. She has like bad allergies. And there's like a queer storyline with this like vampire girl. Yeah, that's one I'd recommend. There's also In at the Deep End by Kate Davies, which is another one about a woman who becomes obsessed with, I think, her female coworker. There's one called The Life and Death of Sophie Stark by Anna North, who also wrote the Outlawed book. And that's about someone who is a queer person who dies. It's like a story about her past, like people from her past. So I really like that one. I think those are my best recommendations for ones that don't necessarily center men or like leaving men, but they probably do mention men because unfortunately they are out there.
Yeah. They do exist in the world.
So. Yeah.
So all the books that we mentioned, like we said, will be on the list that we have in this description. So if you didn't write that down fast enough, or if you're driving right now, or you just want to be able to have something to tap back to, it'll be down below.
Perfect. And with that, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back to talk a bit more about queer books.
Okay, we are back. And the next question is not really a question, but somebody did comment, I love representation, but lots of books fail to present it in a realistic way. Which, yeah, it's probably because there's so much of a spectrum to queer experiences that I think a lot of times the representation can be a little bit narrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think we all have our own experiences, so it just might not align with the specific book we're reading.
Yeah.
And also, we don't know how much was like edited out, how much the, publishing team was like, no, you can't include this, or this is too much, or why is there this detail like that could have added to the story? Maybe you're just not vibing with like the writers that you're reading. Like there are lots of different reasons why it might not be presented in a realistic way. But also I think it's not real, so it's like hard to get it completely accurate, and it's not going to fit everyone. And even if someone's like writing something and they want to make it as representational for as many people as possible, that means it's not going to be like as detailed or sometimes not as good. Like even when I make memes, like sometimes I try to like make them as broad as possible, but that kind of takes away from the meme. So it's hard to find like a sweet spot where it's like still good, but still applicable to like a huge group of people. And I think sometimes the stories, that's what the issue is. The only other thing I can suggest is to write your own.
Yeah. And I think somebody else asked a question about what straight authors get wrong about queer stories. And that could be partially why the representation doesn't feel realistic. Mm-hmm. Because if you just look at who has a better probability of being published, it's straight authors. Mm-hmm. And they're not living an authentic queer experience, but they're writing about one, which I understand you can do that for a lot of scenarios in writing because it is like imaginative. But if you're really drawing from an experience that you have not had, obviously there's places you could get things wrong. And so that could also play into why things sometimes don't feel as authentic as they could be, because they're not always being written that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that reminds me, it's like kind of the opposite scenario. There's this author that I just found on TikTok who is married to a woman, but she only writes like straight love stories. And people were like, why don't you write any queer ones? And she was like, I don't want to like write my story because it just feels so personal. Like, I don't want to put that out there. And they were like, well, why don't you write something with like hints of your real story or like something else? Like, why aren't you writing anything queer? And she just like feels comfortable, I guess, writing straight stories. And even in one
the answer is that's how she's going to make money. That's how she's going to make money.
Yeah, that's true. But I like went into the videos and part of it is because she feels not valid as a queer person because she's only been with her wife. She didn't know that she was into women before her wife. And so she feels like she doesn't have a background to pull from or story to pull from aside from her own specific experience, which she doesn't want to share. You know what I mean? So like, I feel like maybe a mixture of both, like that's her lane. That's what she's comfortable with. But also she doesn't know how to write about queer experiences that aren't that specific experience she has, even though I do think she knows, she would totally know how, like, I don't think she wouldn't be able to. You just kind of have to like superimpose like women into the narrative and like change some things that I don't think it has to be like a huge difference in the overall story. But like, I think that's also like what authors in general are getting wrong is that they're going from like one narrow experience they've had or someone they know has had, when there are a bunch of like different things that could be explored, but maybe they only feel comfortable going down one avenue.
Right.
Even in movies, like the trope of like coming out, like we just see like kind of like the same storylines recycled over and over. And I know there's like kind of a finite amount of stories in the world. Like it's like person goes on an adventure to find right. X, Y, you know what I mean? There's just like
only so many templates.
There's only
left.
So many stories. Yeah. But like, I feel like what movie studios and probably also like publishers think will do well is kind of the same thing over and over. But I know like self-publishing is a thing. So I do think that there are other options out there. Just what's highly marketed is not always accurate to our lived experiences.
Yeah, I also was thinking too that with the gift of hindsight, we can look back on things that were so absurd and be like, how did that happen? But it did. Like even me saying, you know, how I reread all the lesbian scenes a million times, but like I did not know what that meant. And so I think there's also seeing anything through comp het can make things seem unrealistic now, but when you're really unaware of your queerness because of, you know, the overarching cis heteronormativity that's taking over everything, you can do things that are unrealistic. Like you ignore things that are stupid to ignore. And so maybe it seems unrealistic because you're like, no, you would absolutely have that happen and know how to react or know that you were gay if that happened to you. And I don't know, maybe you don't, because the world isn't totally set up for us to figure out who we are early on in life. And that's also maybe something that straight authors get wrong about queer stories, because they often
know immediately and like
exactly
100% sure. Yeah.
I understand. Like they often, it's set up as this secret, and I understand this. It's a good story arc of like rising action. Like they're having to do more and more to hide the secret. And then the climax is it finally comes out. And then all of the, you know, fallout then of everything that happens after to conclusion is everybody being like, it's okay, we still love you. Like it does make a good story arc. I get it. But I didn't feel like I was like hiding some secret and I didn't want everybody to find out. And I know that there are people who feel that way, but how do you write a story really about somebody getting smacked in the face with something and still being like, lesbian, no, I'm straight.
Yeah.
No, I'm straight. Like,
I would read that. Yeah. It's just like the quote about like healing not being linear. And I feel like coming to terms with your identity, whether it's sexual or like in other ways, like it's not always linear. Sometimes you backtrack, sometimes you go off on a different path. Like there are different avenues. And like, for me, I was like a mixture of both. Like it was like getting smacked in the face and in denial, but also like kind of knowing that I had like a secret, but also like the denial was so strong that it was like, I don't know. Like it's so complex. And I think it is hard to put into words. So that's why sometimes it is easier to write that more straightforward storyline. So I don't know. I think it can be a little difficult to write, and people already have a hard time writing. So I can see why they want to make it as like simple as possible for themselves. But if you want to write a story about comp het, I want to read it. So someone write that. I actually read a nonfiction book, and then it also had a sequel, and it's called Dear John, I Love Jane. And then the other one is called Welcome to Jane Land. And it's about like, it is about women leaving their husbands to go be with women. And some women, it's like they fell for a woman. Some women, it's like they felt pressured into that life and always knew they were gay, but like didn't think they could live that way. Some, it's just like they got a divorce and then like realized there were other options out there. So that's a good nonfiction one. No one asked for this recommendation, but I'm recommending it because I read that after I left my ex-boyfriend, and I enjoyed those because they were like highly relatable. And you know, if you want to like get queer stories right, I guess the route might be to go to nonfiction, because that's not necessarily like, okay, this make-believe person, it's someone's like actual experience. And
I love reading nonfiction for that exact reason. People have interesting stories without making anything up. Not to say that you can't have an active imagination, but people are interesting to me already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to write a memoir someday, but I'm like, I need to do something with my life. I read in high school, I read Chelsea Handler's books, and they made me want to like fuck a bunch of people and like write about it. But now as an adult, I'm like, I don't know if I actually want to do that. But yeah, I like things about people's lives. It makes me feel less alone. So the last question that we got is, do you think LGBTQ should be its own genre? I personally think not. That's what the person said. I'm not saying that.
Right. I think that, not to like shame this person, but I do think that's kind of problematic. And I understand the idea of like, why are we different and othered? Mm-hmm. And why can't we all just like be in the same section? But representation is so important. And if you just put it all into one, we're never going to find queer stories. Mm-hmm. We're just not. In fact, I will literally search like lesbian this, sapphic this, like whatever. And if I can't, if I can't search that or go to a section in a library or a bookstore, how do I know that it exists?
Right.
It's representation.
Yeah, I agree. Like, obviously I do think that queer books should be like sprinkled throughout the other genres. Like they should still be present if possible. But I do like the simplicity of like going to a section on a website or in a store and looking at all the queer books specifically. So I think it's more of like a convenience thing and not necessarily like, oh, you're other, but it's like a way to find books that might get lost among the millions of other books out there.
Yeah, I think in like a bookstore, it's harder because you'd have to have like sections. But if you're shopping online, like one book could have a bunch of different tags. And so if I then search fantasy, all these fantasy books would come up and some of them gay, some of them not. But then if I search queer fantasy, it should tag the books that are both of those tags. So I would think like online, at least you need to have like the tags categories. I do understand like going to a bookstore and seeing all the queer books like put into one section does feel very segregated.
You get like two little shelves of queer books. It's right, so sad.
Feels wrong in a way. But I do think there needs to be an easy way to find.
Yeah, like stick a little rainbow flag sticking out,
sure,
a huge, like little section of queer books. I mean, it would be very time consuming and probably not great for the environment, but there's probably something that can be done that is like, maybe even if it were like in a bookstore, I don't know what imaginary bookstore I'm speaking to right now, but like in a bookstore, they have like a fantasy section, and then within the fantasy section, maybe they could like put all the queer books together. But I don't know that every every store, every section has enough books for them to even do that. I think the convenience of it is nice. It is really sad when you go into a bookstore though and look at the queer books and there's like nothing. But online, I do like the convenience of having the LGBTQ section, because sometimes that is specifically what I want to read, so that is what I look for.
Exactly. Representation matters. We gotta have a way to find things. But I get it. So that's all the questions that we have. Like I said before, get the full recommendation list in the episode description. And you can also follow us on any social media, where I'm sure we will be posting lots of different things that we just talked about in the recommendations. And you can follow us then anywhere online at Sapphic Survival Guide, except for Twitter, which is just at Sapphic Survival. And you should also like and rate and review our podcast. And if you want more, you can go to patreon.com/sapphicsurvivalguide, where we have bonus content, video episodes, etc. And last, you can find me anywhere online at The Libra Gina, including my website, thelibragina.com. And I post book reviews there. And then if you're done with books and want to go watch Jersey Shore, you can go listen to Hello, wherever you listen to podcasts.
And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mespian on pretty much any social media platform at all times, because I don't get offline. And with that, class is now dismissed. Bye.